tardes, bienvenidos.
Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to the press conference of the film Thalasso, which competes in the official section of the 67th edition of the San Sebastian International Film Festival. And to talk about it, we have the presence of the producer Sylvie Pialat and the director Guillaume Niclou. Sylvie has just told me that Mr. Michel Vuillebec, the protagonist of the film, was here in San Sebastian. You probably saw him on the red carpet. He's very happy to be here, but the truth is he never gives press conferences, nor here nor anywhere else. So please forgive him for not being here today. So therefore, let's commence without further ado. I think there's a question here in the front row.
Bonsoir. Tout d'abord, je veux...
First of all, I would like to congratulate you for the film. I loved it. And I'd already liked your previous film, so it wasn't a surprise for me. But this format that you use is quite strange. We know it's a fiction, but it almost seems a documentary, not because of the situations, but because, of course, the characters or the actors play their role. But my question is, how did you write the screenplay for actors who are going to portray themselves? And then, of course, and how to direct them? Do we have to base the dialogues on reflections that have had taken place before talking to you, or you just simply let them improvise? Yes, someone's translating, yes. Yes, everyone has headphones, good. Well, of course, the truth is I feel obliged to leave part of the manufacturing of this type of film. Obviously, it's a film. And it takes place after the kidnapping of Michel Houellebecq. I leave it in the air. There is a written part. That is, there's a sort of document which is novelized, which is a mixture between a summary, sequences, dialogues, or some of the lines or dialogues. The format is a bit hybrid. So therefore, there is a written document. And then everything that I want to include during the shooting of the film, after talking to Michel Gérard and everybody else, all of this I keep to myself in general. And then we have what the actors propose in each of the scenes, going a bit further than what was foreseen. But then the contrary could occur. We imagine, for example, from the outset, all of this flexibility and way of working is as such because it's a natural development as the film progresses, and that enables me to include all of the events and accidents and incidents that may feed the film as it progresses. All of the incidents and the intrigue and micro intrigues that corresponds to the characters. But obviously the uniqueness, there's that the actors can protect themselves and hide behind that it's fiction and they are portraying a role or a character. But what makes it even more complex, or at least what makes this proposal more complex, is despite everything, when something happens, an event, they are the ones that react. It's their personality. So therefore, it's true that there is a certain ambiguity, that is to say, they behave naturally, but within a fiction. So therefore, this allows us to be much more natural than just if we're only making a documentary, because they can hide behind fiction. So it's a mixture of all of these sources and influences. And there is another element that we haven't talked about, is that the fact during the shooting of the film, I talk a lot. I talk to them. I respond to them during the shooting of the film. And then sometimes they are obliged to... They're, of course, working with something, but we have not reflected upon this beforehand. So therefore, that's why we've got that veracity that is portrayed. Gérard has, well, there's someone who's reading the text to him just before, and he hears this. into his ear. This is something that we'd done beforehand with him. So therefore, there's a mixture. There's a mixture of Michel learns his lines as if he were at school. Like a student, he's very concerned to read his lines well. But Gerard, not at all. Gerard simply is there with the idea that we have to be there on at that moment. And what's happened 2 seconds beforehand is all well and good, but it doesn't matter. So therefore, they're two opposite sources. But when they're together and they create, it's a unique tandem. And it's great to have, it's great fun to see two antagonistic personalities that manage to achieve a balance.
Hola, buenas tardes.
Hi, good afternoon. The truth is, I'm going to ask along the lines of what you asked before. We know that it's fiction, and I would like to know how much improvisation and... Yes, could you repeat what you were saying? I'm listening to you now. Yes, I was saying that I was also going to ask about the improvisation, knowing that it's fiction. Well, just as I was saying that knowing that it's fiction, I was going to ask you about how much improvisation may be from the actors. But I know you've answered that, but Michel, it seems, as he's just said, learned the lines like a student at school, and I would like to know whether there have been things that occurred on the spur of the moment and that have stayed in the final result. And on the other hand, I would have liked to have, it's a pity that Houellebecq doesn't give press conferences, but you can ask him the question, if you'd be so kind. I'm going to ask the question to the director whether he'd be a good president of France. I was who I encouraged him to present him was me. That is to say that I wish he would have continued, because he's got a point of view that belongs to him, and it could be very interesting to listen to it at a moment in which everyone proposes lots of things. Yes, Michel has his own opinion, and I think it would be very interesting to listen to it. But then he considered over a weekend, and he said, no, not at all. No, I'm not going to do it. And it's a pity, because we're talking about government here. We're talking about him, and the government was a government which would have been quite a lot of fun. Truth be said, I wish the disaster that he could have caused would have been fun to see. But he's quite anarchic. Yeah, it would have been quite anarchic, I think, at the end of the day. But as regards to manufacturing the film itself, it's difficult to talk about details, because I don't really remember. There were moments in which, well, there are moments in one. Of course, the shoot starts. We start to shoot, and we used four cameras, and we never stopped shooting. And there's a single take, and such is the case in many, many of the scenes. The interest of this infrastructure is we're always submerged in the film. There's no distance. I include myself there, because I'm there talking to them and in the frame, but I talk to them at the same time. We're all there trying to create a space that can be at in the same time. It's a space in which undoubtedly we're making a film, and there's certain things that we have to comply to, but always to try to capture real moments or true moments. So therefore, in turn, we've got to have absolute trust, and they have to completely trust me in order to put themselves in my hands, in the hands of a director, and sometimes which is not foreseen, or things that didn't form part of the script, and let them go, themselves go, both of them, and to advance without rationalizing things, just simply trusting trusting the situations that arise and trusting how Michel, Gerard and the rest react to the situation. It's a mixture. It's quite a curious mixture, truth be said. It's an alchemy which is quite particular. To work upon a film is a very particular alchemy that is required in order to achieve it. I would like to know, how do you write a script, not for an author, but knowing that one of the characters, the actor, is also an author? Did you bear that in mind at all? Or on the contrary, it's just another character and it's a script or screenplay like any other? Then I would like to ask you about Sylvester Stallone. Was it always Sylvester Stallone that you had in mind for those appearances? Thank you.
En fait, le statut
the professional status of Michel when we're shooting, be it the kidnapping of Michel Houellebecq or this film, well, I'm not truly really interested in it. What I'm above all, I'm interested in is human, his human quality. He's like that in the film because that's the way he is. His personality and sensitivity, how funny he is. Everything that he can provoke in a situation, well, that's the way he is, that's his personality. And that is what makes the film. It doesn't matter what his status as an actor or as an author. The fun thing is to play with that public image. The fun thing is to create perpetual links. And sometimes we don't know who we're looking at on the screen. And that's also very interesting to see how we're perceiving it. It's like apnea, so it's as if what we're seeing is true or is it something imaginary. So therefore, be he an author, well, there's no problem for me at all if he's an author. That's not what I'm basing myself upon in shooting the film. But when I think about the fact that Michel had to read the lines and learn them, but that's not a problem either. I didn't even think about this at all. It didn't bother me. And now Gerard, for example, I don't even ask him to read the scripts anymore. Well, he has a quick look over, glance over them, but leaves the scripts to one side because we both trust each other. We trust ourselves sufficiently. And the importance here is the will to work together. And we delay the moment. The most important moment is where we start to manufacture things, the film, and not the moment where we prepare things. Yes, well, Sylvester Stallone. It's the first word that came to my mind when I started to write the script. I like the actor very much. He always moved me, and when I saw Rocky, for example, the first film, I think it's a great film. I think there are incredible moments in that film, that moment in which when we see him with his hoodie on and when he kisses the girl. So therefore, I think it's very beautiful and very exciting. He's marvelous in that film, him along with the actress. So I had him in mind, Stallone, from the outset. And at a given moment, I said to myself, well, perhaps, why wouldn't it be possible? Gerard says, well, I know him. And Gerard says, so we started, well, there were certain negotiations there, shall we say, and we can't reveal why he didn't come along. But the truth is, because Rambo was shooting Rambo, and that's why he couldn't turn up at the end. So therefore, the person that obviously could replace Rambo was his double, Rambo's double, so to speak. So that justified what Stallone said. They say, now we're talking about quantum physics. So therefore, his double, which is, he's like a Schrödinger of Stallone, that double was even better, the fact than having the real Stallone in the shoot. I have a question for Sylvie, for the producer. Thank you very much for having produced this film. I'd like to ask you the following. This is a film which is quite original. I imagine that involves a certain amount of risk. And there are other directors or filmmakers that have made similar films, for example, portraying their own themselves, but it's not the same thing. So if I insist, I think it's a very original film. But don't you believe there's a certain risk when producing a film after another? But I encourage you to do so, continue doing so, but don't you think that you're running a risk when producing these types of films? Well, of course, because as the second with Houellebecq, I'm not too sure whether you produced the film, first film with Michel Houellebecq. Yes, well, we produced them differently. The first film was made very, very quickly, and we didn't have a classic type of financing for it. We did it for TV, so therefore it was much quicker. It's never easy to have Michel Houellebecq free. That's important to bear in mind to start off with. So at a given moment, we need, well, in the shoot, it was all a bit folkloric, the way we got the financing. In this film, it wasn't easier, but we did want it to be a film for the film theaters so that you could be watched on the big screen. And the truth is, it's been quite easy to do so. They all trusted us immediately. We had a certain advance vis-a-vis ticket sales, as is normally the case in France. We trusted that advance, and then a wild bunch followed us, and obviously the thing is with Guillaume, he can shoot very quickly, so therefore we didn't really need thousands, billions of euros. So, and this allows us to have a bit more freedom to work how we want it now. So the truth, it really wasn't that difficult. And plus, we have actors who are prepared to get involved in the game and the fun. So there was all of that. There was a lot of they were involved from the outset. This film works only in one direction. It's the only way of making a film of this nature. First of all, I have Sylvie's trust. That's essential because obviously we have to decide to produce a film like this. It's not that obvious. And then you've got to have the trust of Michel and Gerard. It's quite clear because without them, we wouldn't have a film, right? So it's essential, that trust relationship from the beginning to the end. And in a project like this, nobody can replace neither me, neither Sylvie, nor the two actors, because this is like turning a circle into a square. So we're stuck in the middle of that trust. If someone, one of the four of us would have left, we wouldn't have had anything left to do. In the film, they said Michel and Gerard knew each other beforehand. How did they connect when they met, and taking advantage that they're not here and they can't hear us? Whether it was complicated, I know that you obviously worked in the same format with Michel in the kidnapping with Gerard Depardieu, you've worked before as well. But whether it was easy to work with two personalities that are so characteristic as both of them, and together, and who gave you caused more problems to you?
Excusez-moi,
la première question, c'est est-ce qu'ils se connaissaient déjà?
Ah, voilà, non, ils ne se connaissaient pas. Je disais...
No, they didn't know each other. They had met, well, they'd seen each other, but not met each other. So therefore, the exciting thing, the truth be said, was to organize a real meeting between both of them. When they met each other, they started to talk and to film that encounter or meeting between both of them, so that we could have the privilege of seeing them talk to each other, albeit going through a fiction, but arrive to that more personal area, or that so we could see we see how everyone's telling their secrets with what they're saying and how the other one reacts to what is being told. No, the truth is they weren't too much of a pain. Each of them have got their own personality. Well, of course, problems. Someone who causes problems is a person who asks a lot of questions. When I ask them to do something, that's a person who's always questioning what I have to say. With those, I don't know how to work with those types of people that ask so many questions when I want to ask them to do something. No, they didn't hassle me at all. They did everything that I asked of them, and that's an enormous privilege, undoubtedly. And that is the best gift, isn't it, to have actors that follow you in something that one is unable to really explain oneself, but they follow you and they understand you, they know how to treat the issue. And when we accompany each other in this exploration, it's a true gift when we mix that search of what is intimate with that fiction side of things. And that mixture is what I was interested in proposing to the audience. So therefore, they're not a pain, they're not problematic. That doesn't always mean that it's easy to work with them. No, it's not that it was a happy shoot. No, we weren't trying to find pleasure or happiness. The idea was to learn and to get to know that we're all in search of those instants, those moments that aren't foreseeable, that are unforeseeable. The idea is to try to capture that with the camera and make this film. No, I didn't mean cause problems, but more humoristically, whether it was work with them was easy or not, but whatever. Yes, we have a question in the front row. Well, it was simple and not simple working with them. And precisely the interesting thing here is we investigated, and if there aren't difficulties in the search, well, the search wouldn't be interesting, would it? Each of us have to contribute and do something that stimulates us, that makes us want to progress and continue ahead in that exploration. So the idea, once again, is to manufacture and play together and try to invent to being as just as possible. And this doesn't exclude that sometimes there may be a lot of screaming or even attacks and bottles that are emptied. Life itself, what can I say? It's quite clear that we didn't want to be warm, lukewarm. No, we didn't want to be lukewarm, and there was no lukewarmness in this film. We spent 4 months in Vietnam, and making the film obviously was a real experience, more than Vietnam. Sylvia said that this Guillaume shoots very quickly. I said whether there were moments, whether you went beyond the planning, that it lasted longer, because each of the characters are the actors are as they are, whether you had to lengthen more time the shoot a bit more, and whether you took more time. And I would like to know whether you want to collaborate with any of the two again, and especially with Michel Houellebecq. Thank you. More delays. Well, the truth is, no, we were locked up in that spa. And the truth is, as I like to surround myself by people and friends that I trust. And so at any moment we said, well, okay, let's lengthen this a bit more, or perhaps today. Yes, the duration was flexible of the shoot. We didn't have a strict schedule or any time limitations. The only limitation was, of course, if it gets dark and we wanted to have more daylight. Those were the limitations, because with Sylvie, we worked in a very flexible way once the structure was already underway. Other films with Michel, well, perhaps at a given moment, why not? Why not make a third film with him, with Michel? Perhaps if we see that everyone feels like it, well, of course. But if we did so, it's quite clear it would be with Sylvie again. And we never talked about Denoir. Denoir, there is always forms part of Benoit, who is a key element in this production. And he's a person who's always very faithful. Benoit also forms part of this team. So therefore, yes, of course, if I work with them again, it would be with the same people, with the same crew, and it would be coherent because we all share the same desire that stems from an impulse. So if we want to launch ourselves into it, we will all launch ourselves into it together, and we'll see what the final result is. But at the end of the day, what links us, what brings us together, is that common desire, and perhaps that is what enables us to make these types of films, because we have this common will and that common energy. And so therefore, to answer your question, I hope so. There's a question. It's a question which is a bit of a transition. Talasso, I know, comes after the kidnapping of Walid Bek from the narrative standpoint, but the subject matter, it's more close to Valley of Love, better said, the name of the film. So many of your films, you talk about death and the beyond. It is true, if we're dead, whether we're dead or not, and death is also present in other films of yours. So how do we explain that desire of talking about death, but linking it to life? Because, of course, the characters or people, quite often you say they are still alive after death. Could you talk about all of this, please? Well, I can't explain it. What I try to do is to explore all of those ideas while I write and while I shoot the film. These three elements, first of all, obviously we have to write, then we have to shoot, and then we have to edit the film. So there's a permanent mutation between the idea that we have from the outset and what I perceive or we perceive on the screen. So therefore, between one moment and another, I'm already in another place as a director. But even if I'm in that other place, I continue to be there because each film gives rise to another, or we follow a certain line. Talasso has given rise to another film that Sylvie and Benoit will have to produce, and they only found out about this yesterday, so therefore we needed some time, like if it were 9 months, a pregnancy, a baby in his mother's womb. And there's a script which extends the issue addressed by Talasso, this film. This is something I can't explain. This is something that I simply can feel. And here we are, we're talking about desire of wanting to write one thing or another. It's very difficult to explain it. Otherwise, we'd be lying. I can't really give you an answer when I don't know. If I don't know, if I'm just trying to be sincere, it's just that I don't know. I don't know why. If I knew, perhaps I'd stop there and I'd go and make another type of film, or perhaps I would embark on some other type of story. Hi, good afternoon. No. Is this the last one? Do you decide it? But it's not the last question. You decide it's the last question. Okay. No, he's joking. He's got a very particular sense of humor. Hi, good afternoon. I'd like to ask you about the protagonists, the actors, the characters. They're not any old people, but even less so in France. These are people that have an opinion. These are people that have a public position and do so publicly. This always generates a discussion in favor or against. They're controversial and they attract. They have a lot of attraction. In the film, I'm not too sure whether it's reality or fiction. A client in the spa said, "You are the shame of France. Could you develop this idea and how they address the roles that they portray together?" Thank you.
C'est ce que certaines personnes.
Some people, I'm sure, think what they think. Well, they are the shame of France. Well, I don't know. Well, I think that I interviewed Gérard and Michel because Michel decided at a given moment to not answer journalists' questions from journalists. That's why I'm here at the interview. And I asked the journalist, asked them, do you really believe that you're the shame of France? What do you think when people say that? That's at the end. Last question. We already said that. That just appeared on the screen there on the mobile. So therefore, I asked them, what did they think about this? And both of them said yes. And also, they felt almost proud to be the shame of France. And that's why I say that they've got this very provocative spirit, and they provoke in a very different way. On the one hand, you've got one who's very reflexive and the other one's spontaneous. We say, oh, what a heap of shit. It's all a heap of shit. It's all shit. Gérard says that. He says it quite often every day. He says, this is a heap of shit. This is a heap of shit, Gérard says. And Michel, no. Michel is a bit more moderate. He reflects a bit more. He's more reflexive, and he says, oh, this is a heap of shit. But he reflects it, and he says it in a much more calmer way. But Gérard is different. And the truth is, they felt themselves quite proud that someone can tell that to them, made them feel very proud. No, that didn't bother them at all. And I can respond on behalf of them because I have heard that that's what they answered when that question was asked of them. And that's what they said. Do you want to add anything? No, no, the truth is, I was going to mention that interview too, because I agree, they felt quite proud. Michel Place was over the moon. He says, I'm very happy that Gérard exists, because when I hear the things that Gérard said, I feel very relaxed. Whereas if Depardieu exists, we're all safe. Anything you can say after what he says. I'm not too sure whether you would like to add anything before we finish. Well, no, but if you've got questions, well, please raise your hand. Well, okay. If you agree, we can stay here as long as you want. A question, a very brief question. Oh. In your films, in the kidnapping of Michel Houellebecq and this film, the truth is, do they drink what they're really drinking? The real stuff? Well, the shooting of the kidnapping of Michel Houellebecq was quite alcoholized, shall we say, full of alcohol. There are three dinners in the film, and on each occasion, we spent 2.5 hours. Having dinner, and I didn't cut. That is, every dinner could have been a film in itself. And as regards when they started to sit down at the table, well, obviously we have the aperitif, and then you have something to eat, and after that, after dinner we've drunk quite a lot. And the truth, it was there was a lot more alcohol in the kidnapping of Michel Houellebecq, but here in the spa, they're a bit more moderate. What did they eat? They ate very little. They ate air, really. So therefore, we were a bit more modest. And plus, as they couldn't drink alcohol because it was locked away. And Michel also had just got married. And so the truth is, they weren't in the same disposition to do so. It was never foreseen to drink just because of drinking sake. I take things as they come. And if at a given moment Gérard says or Michel says, I'm thirsty, well, they drink. And if they want to smoke, well, they smoke. It's all quite natural without obliging them to do so or preventing them to do so. But it is true, there's been less alcohol in this film than in the previous one. I'd like to ask you about the spa, Thalasso. Was it available completely while you were shooting in one area, the rest was open to the public, or how did that work? Well, this spa, yes, it was available to us, but there were clients, and yes, and the staff, they also worked on the film, so therefore they helped us. But we also included them in the film, the staff of the spa, so therefore the people that work there also portrayed a role. We took advantage of the know-how they had, and we put them in the film, so therefore they decided to play. And the truth is, to play and also portray a role. And you've seen a film, and Gérard said it all the time, oh, la, 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 la. We can't say that. Oh, that'll be horrible. We can't say that. Yes, yes, of course you can say it. This is a comedy. And he said, no, no, but it's us. It's us. It continues to be us. And he said, yeah, but it doesn't really matter, I told him. So it was a bit corrosive, that was say, having to talk in front of the staff. We organized a projection for the director, manager, and they all came along in a bus. 20 people from the staff, from the center, the Spark, and they were very, very happy. But during the shooting of the film, of course, well, they realized that it was very light, and of course, we're not trying to do a catastrophic portrait of their spa. They understood this, but we were very lucky with them because it's not obvious. Just before Christmas, when there are a lot of customers, the clients, it's not normal that they collaborate so nicely, and so the people at the spa. So therefore, the spa is another character in the film with all of those characters, which is the real staff of that place. Obviously, we couldn't guarantee that we were going to find this spa, so therefore, I thought about a spa of this nature, that was the therapy center, and they took us in quite well. They were very nice. They were very simple, and everything was done quite naturally. Sometimes we had to oblige things and make things happen on purpose, but no, not at all. Everything worked smoothly and simply. No problems. Seamlessly. I'm not sure whether you agree, but I think the fact that these projects, we treat them with a certain urgently and emergent and very quickly and have to do it. This involves a lot of energy and there's no time for any problems. Truth be said, there's no time at all. Other projects, for example, that are much longer will create problems, but not here. We had to progress and resolve things very quickly on the spur of the moment. So therefore, we went from one thing to another very quickly. And this, I believe, makes the shooting of a film much easier and facilitates it. Any further questions? I'm not too sure. You have a question? Okay, is that it? You want to add anything? Well, if you've got time, I'd be pleased to keep talking. That's what we've come here. We've come here to talk to you. Otherwise, what have we come here for? But I think it's okay, she says. Okay, that'll do because you want to go now, don't you? You have to go, don't you? Or do you want to go? The journalists are always very busy here. So nevertheless, it's been a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much for coming along. And the best of luck with the film. Thank you.